Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Well, this Sunday is Cantate. It is a day of singing and rejoicing. The world, of course, packed up its bunnies and colorful eggs a long time ago now. Most municipalities or clubs that have Easter egg hunts, that all happens, of course, before Easter, during the season of Lent, when we are devoting ourselves to prayer, to fasting and almsgiving in preparation of the joy and rejoicing. But here we are on the fourth Sunday after Easter, still celebrating the resurrection of our Lord. The devil does not win. The tomb is empty. The grave has lost its sting. Death has been trampled underfoot. St. James writes, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." Every good and perfect gift. Everything that I have in this life is not mine. It belongs to God. He has made me a steward over these gifts. The place that I live, the church that I serve, you beautiful people gathered here today, my wife and my children, they belong to Him. I am merely a steward over these things. And the same is true of you. Every good gift, everything that the Lord has provided you in your life, it's from Him. And we need to remember that. These perfect gifts that God gives are the things that will last into all of eternity. You know full well that your house will not stand forever. That the car that you drive will not stand forever. That the clothes that you wear today will not stand forever. Of course, if you give it 30 years, they'll come back in style and you can wear them again. Honestly, some of those 90s styles should have stayed in the 90s. But these perfect gifts, these eternal gifts, we don't focus very much on them. We thank God for the talents that He has given us. We thank God when our children can hit the home run or do the twirl or do all of these wonderful things with their bodies, temples of the Holy Spirit. But do we thank God that He has given us these children, these eternal blessings at all? Do we recognize that our job in this life is not to have our children win the awards, is not to have them win the popularity contests, is to see them for all of eternity in heaven? That is what God gives children for, to return to Him. Whether they are your natural biological children, whether you have taken them in and raised them as your own, whether God has not given you the gift of children, but you help care for your nephews, your nieces, for children in the church, these are eternal treasures. Now you know that not every day makes it seem like they are perfect gifts, but they are eternal ones. Treat them as such. Love them as such. Devote your lives and submit to Christ as such. Some days are harder than others. There are seasons of life where children grate on you, and there are seasons of life where children will say that their parents grate on them. But if you live long enough and if you submit yourself to Christ long enough, you will see the blessing that one another is. Children receive timeouts. There are corporal punishments, just as God gives corporal punishment. But sometimes parents, well, we need timeouts too. Sometimes in the throe of things that are beyond our ability to comprehend and reason at that moment, because if we remember, of course, three-year-olds are not very logical. When we see them and they act out, we are not to just come at a place of anger. Luther actually gives really good advice on this in his sermon for the epistle lesson today, where St. James says that each person is to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. In other words, Luther says, listen and be comforted. Be quick to do this, but not quick in finding fault, grumbling, cursing, and complaining against God and man. Here he does not completely forbid us to speak, complain, become angry, and rebuke where it is God's command or necessity requires. Rather, we should not be hasty and quick to do it for our own person. Even though we are enticed to do it, first we should hear and listen to the word, the correct and truthful word, which should always rule and guide us. All that we speak, complain against, or rebuke should come from it. He adds the reason for this, for a man's wrath does not accomplish what the righteous before God. Even the heathen have said, anger is a brief madness, a quotation from Horace. And experience agrees. Therefore, when you feel wrath stirring in you, then do not sin. But go into your room, keep quiet a little, and do not let the wrath press you to do what it says. Do not rush on in hot temper, even if people harm or shame or speak evil of you, so that you let yourself be quickly provoked and inflamed. Rather, see to it that you overcome the enticement and do not consent to it. Even the best parents are guilty of doing those sorts of things. I know I have done it more times than I wish and care to admit. And for those moments, I'm sorry. You need to take the time and evaluate the situation. Many of the things that we get angry about in this life really don't matter in the grand scheme of things. Oftentimes, when talking about parish life, life in a church, I will have chaplains, Missouri Synod pastors who have entered into the Army or the Marines or the Navy or any of the branches, and they'll say, man, what you guys talk about, it really isn't that big of a deal. And when you think about having to work with people who have been seriously injured, seriously maimed, destroyed, lives taken from them, it really does put things into perspective. So maybe not everything in the service is exactly how you or I wish it was. We thank God that God is present, that he is here. We need to pause when we get frustrated and angry about those things. We need to read God's word and see, is this glorifying him? Parents sometimes need a timeout, kids. Do not push them. Kids, you sometimes need a timeout too. We'll let you breathe, but we do need to correct. We do need to reprove, just as he says. There is a proper time for these things. There is a proper time to say what needs to be said. There is a proper time to discipline, including physically, but never to abuse these eternal treasures that God has given. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. And when we recognize that and reorder our daily lives around it, there is such a blessing and joy. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So, my beloved, let everyone be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Those of you who work in preschools know that one of the things that you will often say to children is, God has given you two, what? Ears and one mouth. So we are to make sure that we listen more than we talk. We need to make sure that we get the facts before we start yelling and being slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. There is a time for wrath. There is a time for anger. But make sure that it lines up with what God is wrathful about. What God is angry about. When it causes the harm of children, when it causes the harm of the weakest among us, when it causes the harm of the widow and the fatherless, these are not good things. God is angry about them, and we should have a righteous anger too. The fact that our system does not properly care for them, the fact that we care more, as I said last week, about protecting those who harm others rather than those they harm, these are atrocities. God will judge, and he will judge righteously. We as Christians are not perfect, but we worship the one who is. We worship the one who is always perfect, always has been, will continue to be, and calls us to follow his example. And so as Christians, we lay aside all filthiness and the overflow of wickedness. And instead of practicing the wickedness that this world enjoys so much, we receive the implanted word with meekness. For it is that word which is able to save our soul. We need to spend more time reading God's word and less time reading the news. We need to spend more time focusing on maybe the Book of Concord or doing our devotions, especially more than we spend time gossiping. We need to tame our tongues so that they give glory to God and benefit the neighbor. Sometimes that tongue needs to tell the neighbor when he is wrong and needs to repent. God is your God. He is your Father, and he has given you everything. On this day of singing, on this day of rejoicing, because that's what God has made us to do, we recognize that he has given us all these things. There are days of sorrow that fill our hearts, especially when we let the devil and the world beat us down into thinking that there is no hope, into thinking that there is no reason for joy. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that he had to go away. Because when he ascended back to our Father and his, 10 days later he sent the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son, sent to do the will of God, for the Spirit is God. He is the helper. He is the paraclete. He is the one that shows us the way of righteousness, the way of godliness. When that Holy Spirit comes, he will convict on that last day the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. It should not surprise any of you when an unbeliever lives like an unbeliever. When he does not listen to the word of God and do what God's word proclaims. But it should surprise you when someone who confesses Jesus Christ as Lord lives in that way. Of sin because they do not believe in me. St. John will later write, before the end of his life, he will write this. The angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. I counsel you in this way. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. Like the parable of the virgins, the five were foolish, not bringing enough oil to keep their lamps going, and five were wise. The five who were foolish had confessed the bridegroom in their lives, but then in the cares of this world fell away. They went to go and buy more oil, and the bridegroom came, and he opened the door to the wise ones, and they entered. But then he shut that door. And once he shut the door, the foolish came back, and they knocked, and they said, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he said, depart, I never knew you. Do not be lukewarm in your faith. The days of cruise ship comfortable Christianity are behind us. Be battle ready. Have your knees wear out of prayer. Have your voice crack because you have sung his praises so often. Let your body, your words, your acts be a testament to who Jesus the Christ is. So that on that last day, he does not vomit you out for being neither hot nor cold, for pretending that you were a Christian, but never living it a day in your life. Live for Christ. Glorify him. Declare the mighty deeds that he has done. Jesus, God in the flesh, died and rose to take away our sins. Let your sins rest at his feet, that they are not yours anymore. Let his life, his suffering, his death and his resurrection, his ascension, his reigning, rule everything that you do in this life. The church sings, what I on earth have done and taught, guide all your life in teaching. So shall the kingdom's work be wrought and honored in your preaching. But watch lest foes with base alloy the heavenly treasure should destroy. This final word I leave you. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.